The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Here comes the shot. Now it's 4-0. It's Manson on the point, getting it, and Colorado is on a roll. So two defensemen have scored in the second period. First, Malinsky at 3:44, and now at 4:51 of the second period, Josh Manson has rifled it in. And for Manson of Colorado, that is his second goal of the season.
Well, yeah, we're going to continue to learn as we go here and get better. And we've obviously probably taken a step in the right direction as far as total, you know, sample size of the season. But obviously we have a ways to go. And to keep going through and going through something like that for Sam Dickinson, for Askey, you know, Ostapchuk, even Eklund and Mac and Will and our young players, I think it's a good learning experience. Young players, I think it's a good learning experience. Good chance they'll be there at the very end. The way they play, shift in and shift out, they go, they get in your face, they win pucks. I mean, it's 6-0. That Malinsky's chasing down our guy at the half wall like it's 0-0 in game 5 of the Stanley Cup final. We need to get to that mentality. Are we there yet? No. But there's certainly some things we can learn from.
All right. Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? Last night was a bit of a learning experience, an eye-opening evening of sorts, in the sense that we learned that the Colorado Avalanche are as good as advertised. They are an absolute beast right now. They have won 10 in a row, not by accident. I think the Sharks can take credit for kicking them off on that 10-game winning streak because their last loss was against the Sharks. But the fact of the matter is, and I said this on NBC's post-game live last night was not an indictment of the San Jose Sharks. It was an underlining of how good Colorado really is. And I think that that is the point that everyone should be taking away from this game. Look at the way that Colorado plays with speed, the quickness with which they move the puck, which kind of has one hand eating out of the other, the speed at which they move the puck amplifies the speed at which they have naturally out there as skaters. They have some of the best players on the planet, and they are lethal, and they were opportunistic when they had scoring chances, and they punished the Sharks and took advantage of what was given to them, and they put the game out of reach relatively early. Now, yes, it didn't happen until the second period when they scored 3 goals in a minute and 16 seconds, but in the first period, you could tell from the first moments that it was going to be a rough night for the Sharks. They were on their heels. They were pinned in their own end. They were getting outshot. They had almost no offensive puck possession in that first period, and they were doing everything they could to survive. And I think that's the thing I keep on coming back to, is that the Sharks were reactionary the entire night. And that's something we have not seen as of late. We have seen the Sharks dictating a lot of the games they're playing in, or in a back-and-forth battle like we saw against Ottawa. That has been the best element of the Sharks game this year, is that they are not just the team that is responding, reacting, and playing in response to what the opposite team is doing. That was once again what happened last night. Last night looked like they were going up against a remarkably good team. If that game happens a year ago, the Sharks lose by a much greater margin, and it's a much more demoralizing game, in my opinion. That team that the Sharks played against last night is everything that you want to be as a hockey team. And that's why they are right now in contention, to win another Stanley Cup. That's why people are talking about them as one of the best teams in the NHL that has a chance of winning the Stanley Cup this year. It doesn't happen by accident. You don't win 10 games in a row by accident, especially when they're averaging something like almost 5 goals a game and they're only giving up 1.5 goals a game. And also they have been shutting out teams for three straight games. I mean, guys, that's a historic run. And I don't think anyone should be walking away from this and thinking, oh my God, the Sharks, they're not what we thought they were. I think the Sharks are a good team. At least they are right now. I think the Sharks can beat most teams in the NHL on any given day. I don't know that they will, but I think they can give themselves a shot. However, a team like Colorado, when they are playing like that, almost no one has a chance against. I would take Colorado over any team in the NHL right now if there was some sort of prize on the line. Now, quote unquote, right now is not March, April, May, and June. Things change, injuries happen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we have to look at things in the micro because the macro of the 2025-2026 season has yet to happen in its totality. But right now, on Thursday, November 27th at about 5:30 in the morning, yeah, Colorado, guys, that team is an absolute beast. And you want to know why I think it's okay to acknowledge the game this way? And I think it was backed up to feel this way. Usually when Ryan Warsowski has a loss that he is really ticked off about, a little heated, he will be extremely short in his post-game comments. He will be terse. He will be audibly and visibly angry. Last night, I could tell he was upset, that he was displeased, but he actually gave relatively longer and expansive answers because I think anyone can look at that game and recognize that they were just outmatched thoroughly and completely outplayed, and that was not a game that was about the Sharks making mistakes or being the worst team. They simply weren't good enough. And my takeaway from that is that you need to learn how to get to that level. Obviously, the Sharks are not at that level. I am quite all right with that because it takes time. But just as the Avalanche got to that level, the Sharks should be looking at this and thinking, we need to get to that level. We saw what the best of the best are capable of. It's probably a little bit sobering. It's probably a little bit of a reality check. Because yes, you feel good about wins, but all these guys in the NHL, they all know that they're measuring themselves against the best teams. And the Sharks just got measured against the best teams in the NHL, and they fell short. And again, it's not an indictment on San Jose. It is a stark reality check of where they are versus where they want to be. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the San Jose Sharks not being at that point as of yet. I think that the way they've played up to this point of the season, they are relatively ahead of schedule. And if I told you that this is where they would be heading into Thanksgiving on November 27th of 2025, I think you'd be pretty darn happy. When we look at the wild card standings right now, guys, the San Jose Sharks are not exactly out of it. They have 25 points on the year. They're 2 points back of the Mammoth. They are 3 points back of the LA Kings. That's perfectly fine with me. They are in the conversation. They are in the overall discussion, and they have given themselves a chance. They are 11-10-3. That is 500 in points. They are under 500 on true record, 11-13. But you know what? They've got a better record than the Edmonton Oilers. They've got a better record than the Winnipeg Jets, Vancouver, St. Louis, Calgary, Nashville. I'm perfectly okay with that. They're tied in points with Chicago. You look at the Eastern Conference, there's a little bit more parity there right now, but the Sharks are better than the Maple Leafs right now. I bet we didn't see that one coming. They've got just as many wins as the wildcard second ranking Pittsburgh Penguins. So take this loss for what it is. The Sharks being shown that they are not on the level of the Colorado Avalanche right now, but I do think they should try and emulate. I think they should learn from this. I think they should recognize what Colorado does so well and see what they can implement into their game, and then take that to the next step. Figure out what they do so well, identify it, incorporate it in your game, and go from there. Because every championship team, of which Colorado has a Stanley Cup, has a pelt on the wall, they got their own distinct way. Florida got their own distinct way. Vegas, right, got their own distinct way. All these teams have high levels of talent, but their play styles are different. The San Jose Sharks right now have high levels of talent on the young end, and they are figuring things out as they go in the NHL. We all knew this was going to be a process. We all should not have expected the Sharks to turn into a world beater overnight, and I don't think anyone does. So again, last night, it's about how good Colorado is. It's not about the Sharks. It's not about Macklin Celebrini. It's not about Yaroslav Askarov. It's not about the defense. It's not about any of these things. It's about the Sharks going up against the best team in the NHL and falling short. And for that, I'm okay. You know, I keep on just going back to that game last night. My overwhelming reaction was, this is by far the best team the Sharks have faced this year, and it's not even close. And I said that to Alan Hoshida several times, and he was in agreement. And we just kind of shook our heads and were like, this is on another level. Like, yes, I know the Sharks have played some good teams up to this point. Colorado, another level. Again, the purpose with which they play, the speed, the puck movement, just one hand feeds the other, and they are lethal. That's just the reaction that I took away. Now, there were some things, and this is when sports gets really cruel. There were some things that I enjoyed out of the Sharks game last night. I mean, they created 26 shots, and yeah, it was after the game got out of hand, but they didn't roll over and die. They kept on trying to give themselves a chance. They created 26 shots, and the power play, even though they didn't score, they did look more cohesive. They had extended ozone time. They created multiple opportunities, and Ryan Warsowski said as much after the game. And that's how you know that if he's acknowledging that the power play did decently in a 6-0 blowout loss, then you have to take that all into account. You have to say that, yeah, he saw it too. He recognized that the Sharks were thoroughly outmatched, and there are going to be some positives to take away from this game that had an overwhelmingly negative result. But certain things that happened during the game, you have to look at and say, okay, there were positives. You can't look at a game like that and say that there were only negatives when you're going up against a team that's just significantly better than where you are right now. And I'm going to stick by that fact. Now, could that change as the Sharks get deeper in the year? Could they get better? Of course. Of course they could. But that's not going to be the takeaway right now. I'm very interested. I believe it's in February when the Sharks play Colorado again. I would like to see where Colorado is at that point, and I would like to see where San Jose is at that point. And I think that will be another big test for the San Jose Sharks. And every time they go up against these good teams, I'm going to be very curious to see what San Jose does. Listen, they've got a back-to-back coming up tomorrow. They play Vancouver on Friday afternoon. It's a 1 p.m. start, and then they are going to be going up against Vegas. So that's a good test in a back-to-back, and then they host Utah, they host Washington, and then it's out on the road for an extended road trip. They're going to be at Dallas, at Carolina, at Philadelphia, at Toronto, at Pittsburgh, and after that game on the 3rd, they're not back home until the 16th. So I look at San Jose, and I see their opportunities. I see their games. I'm going to be looking at the big tests going forward, of which Dallas and Carolina, I think, two are very important teams that they're going to be going up against. But that's what the NHL demands. You have to see where you are. And for this young Sharks team, in seeing where they are, the only response can be to be better and figure out how they're going to be a better team and figure out what they're going to do to make themselves more of a team that's tough to handle in the NHL. That's reality, folks. That is the stark reality of what the NHL presents to you. If you're not the best, then figure out how to be the best. To which I think the San Jose Sharks have done a good job at becoming a better team. They have taken a big step forward through the first 24 games of the year. 11-10-3. I'm okay with that record. I think if you had told me that would be their record back on October 8th before the season started, I'd have been stoked. Tell me we're going into the Thanksgiving holiday with a playoff spot 2 points away? Yeah, I'll take that any day of the week. I will take that any day of the week, and I will continue to take that as we get deeper into the season. The longer they are in the quote-unquote greater playoff conversation, the more we can consider this year a success. That doesn't mean it's not a success if they are not in the playoff picture. However, I think the longer that they are in that conversation, the more the team will understand about the realities and the pressures and all of the associated things that go with being a playoff team. If you want to stay in that picture, you've got to continually improve throughout the season. It's not about where you are in October and November. And we've heard that repeated time and time again. Playoff hockey and hockey in March and April is a lot different than what we see in October and November. All right, let's get into some of these highlights last night. Yes, I know there were no Sharks goals. However, we always have to listen to Dan Rusinowski call some action as the Colorado Avalanche took it to San Jose in the first period, jumping out to a 1-0 lead.
Now it's Devon Taves who lifts one out of the zone over the forecheckers. Into the Shark zone comes Colton Engelshot. Score! How quick was that? Avalanche break up the ice after thwarting the Sharks. And Colton, a left-handed shot, gets it on the right-wing side. And you can hear the ring of that Barr going all the way to Colorado Springs as that hard wrist shot goes up top on Askarov, and it's 1-0 Colorado.
That was Ross Colton unassisted, 3:39 into the first. It had been an onslaught up to that point. You could feel it coming. From that point on, the Sharks did a very good job of surviving as Yaroslav Askarov made some huge saves. He was coming up big. Unfortunately, the Sharks could not give him more support. And it was at this point that I felt the game really took a turn. If they get into the break down 1-0, that gives them a lot of belief. But then with just about 53 seconds remaining in that first period, Nathan MacKinnon scores his 18th goal of the year, a power play goal assisted by Cale Makar and Gabe Landeskog. I mean, that's three star players in the NHL combining for a goal. You're down 2-0. That kind of told you how the rest of this game was going to go.
Face off now. It's Landeskog in the circle, winning the draw cleanly. Makar slides to the right, moves to the left. MacKinnon score! Net front there for Arturi Lehkonen, and that's the reason why Askarov didn't see it. And MacKinnon with that very quick release, getting the pass from Cale Makar, and it's 2-0 Colorado in the final minute of play in the first period. This is a power play goal for Nathan MacKinnon with Lehkonen in front.
So at that point, it is 2-0. You go into the break. It could have been worse, I think, is one reaction that I had. But you get into the second period, it's no different. San Jose was just on their heels, chasing the puck the entire time. Colorado clearly came out with the idea that they were going to put this one out of reach. 3:44 of the second, they score to make it 3-0.
Rebound off Orlov's stick. Rebound bounces to the near side now. Liljegren banks it ahead. Smith trying to push it forward. Celebrini checked by Natchez. It comes back. Here's an opportunity. They score. Malinsky gets it on the point. Right-handed shot. Put it up top. And beats Askarov to make it 3-0 Colorado. Just surgical by the Avalanche at 3:44 of this second period.
A minute and 7 seconds after that, it's Josh Manson who puts one in the back of the net to make it 4-0 Colorado.
Here comes the shot. Now it's 4-0. It's Manson on the point, getting it. And Colorado is on a roll. So two defensemen have scored in the second period. First Malinsky at 3:44. And now at 4:51 of the second period, Josh Manson has rifled it in. And for Manson of Colorado, that is his second goal of the season.
At this point, Yaroslav Askarov is pulled, and then just 9 seconds later, the third goal in a minute and 16-second span makes it 5-0 for Colorado.
Well, here we go. 4-0 in favor of Colorado. Just a simple zone entry for the Avalanche. Now they make it 5-0. They throw it out in front of the net, and Joel Kiviranta, returning to action after being out for 17 games, gets the first attempt on Nedeljkovic home. And now it's become a total rout.
Now, at this point, I know you can make the argument that the Colorado Avalanche kind of turned down the intensity. They're up 5-0. But San Jose did play a little bit better after this. They had some power play opportunities. They created extended ozone time. They were more engaged, and they did not let this game get completely out of control. Because when it's 5-0 early in the second period, as we've seen in some recent games in Sharks history, it can and has the potential to get worse, but it didn't. And so I give San Jose some credit for that. It wasn't until the third period later in the game, the 16:15 mark, and suddenly Colorado has a 6-0 lead, which would be good for your final.
Worked loose, Toffoli can't get it. Cleared back out to center ice, and Natchez gives to MacKinnon. Here comes Colorado. MacKinnon down the left across the line, center and play in front, score! Lehkonen had the first chip on that MacKinnon pass. It was stopped by Nedeljkovic, but Lehkonen is so strong on his stick, he kept the stick down, and the rebound bounced off to the right, and there was an open space there. Lehkonen just tips it home, and it's 6-0 Colorado.
And it's tough for San Jose because I know they were excited about the challenge of this game, but reality comes at you fast in the NHL, and the reality is the Sharks are not yet on that level. But I do think it's important to note that Macklin Celebrini even acknowledged that it took the Avalanche time to get to that point in their evolution. We remember when the Avs were bad. We remember when Nate MacKinnon was not a star. We remember all these things. We saw the process that they had to go through. And so that's what we have to pay attention to. They are a team that is battle-tested, that has some of the best players in the world. They have a Stanley Cup in their back pocket, and they're looking to add another. Again, I always come back to the fact that that does not happen by accident. Let's get Macklin Celebrini's post-game commentary.
Slow start tonight. What happened?
I don't know.
Orzo called a timeout there in the second. Just what was his message during that timeout?
And we just let in 3 goals in 20 seconds, so wake up.
Disappointing this game in particular to not support your goalie more the way that Jarl has played for you this month.
We left him out to dry.
How do you see that start to unfold? Is it just, you know, like a fast start from them, a slow start for you? Like, how does it go for you?
They capitalized on chances early and went up a couple goals.
A big message from Warzo is he talks about being an everydayer. And I just wonder for you as a young player, you know, what does that mean to you to be an everydayer?
Show up every day, compete, do everything you can to win.
The Avalanche are, you know, clearly the other side. You can see that, you know, that's an everyday kind of team. You know, they're going to be a cup contender. Just for you guys, you know, you guys want to get to where the Avs were, but obviously you're not going to be there overnight. Just what in your mind is sort of the next immediate step to get, you know, to get to a place closer to the Avs?
It took them however many years to get there. Obviously they're the best team in the league and they've won regulation loss this year, so I think it's gonna take some time.
And just anything you learn or gather from tonight?
I mean, we got waxed. Like, they're a great hockey team.
So yeah, I think Macklin Celebrini was well aware of what happened in that game. He looked really quite ticked off, which he's a highly competitive guy. And I remember Logan Couture after some losses looking absolutely furious. I remember Joe Pavelski after losses looking furious. I remember Joe Thornton after losses looking furious. Even if he would try to put a smile on it, you know what these guys are feeling on the inside. They play to win, and that is the right mentality. Let's hear from Sam Dickinson after last night's game.
Sam, it was tough from the beginning tonight, just sort of what happened.
Just didn't really come prepared. I mean, that's the best team in the league, and you know that's where we want to be. So it just kind of, you know, shows how much work we've got to do and put in to get to that level. And you know, I think that's kind of, you know, just what you take from this game.
Warzo called a timeout there in the second period. What was the message from him?
Forget about the score. Just go out, compete. You know, there's still a lot of clock left at that point. So I mean, you know, it's just kind of put your head down, go to work, and you know, you never know what could happen in a game like this. So you know, we went out and tried.
Was it disappointing the way that Askarov has played for you this month to kind of, as Macklin said, you know, hang him out to dry tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, he's won us a lot of games. And I think we just came out tonight and, you know, got a little too into the mindset of maybe he's just going to, you know, win us another game again. And, you know, it's just not how it works. And, you know, hung him out to dry and, you know, feel terrible for him.
Big message from Warzo is wants this team to be an everydayer team. He said it many times, I'm sure to you guys, he said it to us. And I just wonder, as a young player, what does that mean to you, that message?
I think it's just, you know, coming in every day, game day, practice day, off day, and, you know, just getting better any way I can. You know, for me, obviously, there's a lot of improvements that I can, you know, get better with and, you know, just focus on that stuff. So, you know, I think for me, it's just coming in, you know, working as hard as I can, listening to the coaches, listening to the, you know, the other older guys in the team, what they have to say, and, you know, just kind of put my head down and go to work every day.
And you mentioned the Avs, you know, best team in the league. They are clearly an everyday sort of team. Just for you guys, and also asking you again as a young player, you're not going to be the Avs overnight, but what is sort of, in your mind, the kind of the next step, immediate step that you guys can take to get closer to that level?
I think just, you know, seeing how hard they compete, line 1 through 4, you know, all 60, you know, it seems like they're always, you know, pulling their weight, doing their job. And, you know, I think that's, you know, the key to a lot of really good teams is, you know, having everybody on the team going every single night. And, you know, it just seems like that's what they get every night.
And what did you learn, if anything, or gather from tonight?
I mean, just, you know, what it takes to be the best team in the league. And, you know, they seem to show it on a nightly basis, you know, with the players that they have and the team that they have. And, you know, they just go out, go to work and, you know, just kind of put teams in a blender, you know, when they kind of get moving and, you know, when they're hounding and stuff like that. So, you know, I mean, for me, it's just kind of, you know, understanding what their top guys do to, you know, take over games and, you know, just try to pick little things and, you know, maybe throw them into my game if I can.
And I think that last comment that Sam has there about trying to pick out little things and make them part of his game, that should be the overall takeaway from this game. Identify what they do so well, see what you can bring into your own game of that, and go forward from there. And Ryan Warsawski spoke after the game. And again, as I mentioned earlier, he was not, you know, the ticked off Ryan Warsawski that we've seen after some losses. He seemingly was very aware of the fact that his team just is not there yet. He wasn't happy by any means, but he gave some pretty expansive answers that I thought were pretty interesting.
Ryan, it seemed like from the beginning of tonight, it was a struggle, what was behind that?
Yeah, we were chasing it right from the drop of the pool team, and they put us on our heels early.
You called the timeout in the second period. What was your message, and you think the guys responded?
Probably a little too late, but the message was we got to get back to skating, competing, get out on pucks. You know, playing the game that we know we can play in a sense, and instead of playing in fear. And I just thought we were just on our heels a little too much.
You think you guys were, I don't know, the Avs obviously 16-1-5 going into this game. You guys were maybe a little respected them too much or something like that?
No. I mean, we have total respect for that team. That's not a question.
But too much, though.
I mean, they're a good team. If you don't play the right way, they're going to make you pay. We saw that.
Do you take anything from the power play? You were able to generate a lot of shots from there. Was that sort of the plan to be very, a shot mentality on the power play?
Yeah.
Take anything from
that? Yeah, I thought our power play, besides scoring, had some really good looks. You know, I thought they did some good things. Actually, again, I thought it was, we'll go back and look at it, but maybe a step in the right direction in a sense.
Is it disappointing overall, the way that Jarl has played this month, that you guys couldn't support him more tonight?
Yeah, for sure. You know, that stinks. You know, he's played really good hockey. Ned came in, played extremely hard. You know, our goaltending is not an issue.
And I asked your players this. You've talked about the message of being an everydayer team. That's clearly an everyday team on the other side. So what can you guys have learned from them, or should you guys have learned from them tonight?
Well, yeah, we're going to continue to learn as we go here and get better. And we've obviously probably taken a step in the right direction as far as total, you know, sample size of the season. But obviously we have a ways to go. And to keep going through something like that for Sam Dickinson, for Askey, you know, Ostapchuk, even Eklund and Mac and Will and our young players, I think it's a good learning experience. Young players, I think it's a good learning experience. Good chance they'll be there at the very end. The way they play, shift in and shift out, they go, they get in your face, they win pucks. I mean, it's 6-0, and that Malinsky's chasing down our guy at the half wall like it's 0-0 in game 5 of the Stanley Cup final. We need to get to that mentality. Are we there yet? No. But there's certainly some things we can learn from.
And I wonder, related to that, you're not going to be the Avs overnight, but what is that next immediate step for your guys to get closer to that level?
I think individually to continue to push to get better each and every night and get better, a little bit better, learn our lessons here as we go, and as a team, having more of an understanding of how we need to play and play against top teams. And look, this is not be the last time we play these guys. It won't be the last time we play a top team, and every night's a challenge in this league. And you know, you got to go out there and you got to play the right way. You got to compete. You got to be mentally engaged. And again, just starting the game on time. And unfortunately, we put on our heels.
Sharks are back in San Jose today. They're going to have a quick practice, get the blood moving throughout their legs, get the lactic acid out, and get ready for Vancouver and Vegas. The double V matchup Friday, Saturday, back to back as this compressed schedule continues. I'm curious to see how San Jose responds, because one of my favorite parts of this year is that San Jose, you know, when they've had a loss, they've been able to bounce back since that 0-4-2 start. The only recent quote-unquote losing streak was that two-game streak they had on the road when they were 1-2 on that road trip. Then they came back home, 1-2, lost to Ottawa, bounced back with a win on Sunday against Boston, and now we see them with a home and away back-to-back against Vancouver and Vegas. In my opinion, the way Vancouver has been playing lately, the Sharks should beat them. However, that's going to be a desperate team akin to what we saw with Calgary a few short weeks ago. So we will be with you Friday at 1, 12:30 pregame as the Sharks play host to the Vancouver Canucks from SAP Center, and then they go out onto the road to take on the Vegas Golden Knights. We are all out of time. I'll be back with you as we get ready for the game on Friday with the buildup for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi End.